Okay, so Alain asked me to speak a little bit about scroll ways and some theoretical work, just to review a little bit the theory, what we know theoretically. So I'm afraid it will be like the spherical horse talk compared to all the complexity of the heart. And as Arkady told you, basically I will not show any heart filament because Arkady has not provided them. So you... it's here.
I gave them all to Alain.
Okay, so I'm sorry, but I will show some Arkady picture, but in busy. Okay, so this work has mostly been done by Hervé Henry, who was my student and who is now at École Polytechnique near Paris, and by Blas Echevarria, who was a postdoc at École Normale and is now at Polytechnica in Barcelona. Coincidence, correlation. Okay. Okay, so after the talk of Arkady, it's probably not very useful to motivate the interest in scroll wave, but I show you two nice pictures in busy reaction. So one is by Art Winfrey, so that was tomography of a scroll wave in busy, and these are nice recent picture by Stefan Müller group at Magdeburg. So this again is by tomography, and they can image what the filament in BZ. So you see that in this case it's like a spiral that are stacked, that everybody knows. And so here you have a picture with the spiral in different plane. So soon we'll have similar picture from Arkady. So, but I show one picture by Arkady and in fact Valentin. So this was a bit, not with tomography, but with a thing from the side, the wall of the container, just to remind you that in three dimension there is a new degree of freedom compared to the spiral, is that all this spiral can have different phase in different plane, and that there is this twist degree of freedom. So here, in this experiment, it was done by heat, so there was a heat gradient, and so the hotter part was turning faster than the lower, and this was inducing twist. Okay, so I'll come back to this. So, but this is this new degree of freedom, and the idea is to try and see what this new degree of freedom does on different instability. So that was done a long time ago again by Art Winfrey in numerical simulation. So what? This is not the simulation of the original paper, but that's what they found. So they took a scroll wave, they put periodic boundary condition on top and bottom, and they put some turn of twist, and if the twist is sufficiently big, then what one sees is that the center of rotation of this spiral takes some helical shape. So this is called sproing, they coined the word, and so the spirals are turning there in each plane. I mean, this is the tip in each plane of the spiral. At the same time, there is a slow rotation of the whole helix. So if one does a Fourier transform, there are two peaks with the two frequencies, basically the spiral frequency and the slow rotation of the whole structure. Okay. So, again, long time ago, Kinner tried to describe this coupling between twist and...
Sure. So, in this picture before, you have a different rotation rate depending on the z-form, or is that relative?
No. The thing is pretty invariant by translation. There is kind of helix. So this is, maybe you don't see it very well, but this is a helical shape. So it's perfectly invariant. So this is the, maybe I should. So in each plane there is a spiral like this. So the small circle that you see here is the tip of the spiral in this plane. Okay. And then as you go in z direction, this point is doing some helix, okay? And this whole helix is turning at a slow rate.
The question I think was, how can you make that it happening without having different frequencies at different heights?
That's what I'm going to talk about. That's exactly but basically the idea is very simple. Somehow you know this in some sense. If you have a cord like this and you twist it, then it goes into this. Okay. So the question is it analog?
How can you make a twist without making change the frequency change?
Okay, so this is with periodic boundary conditions. So
this is a
numerical simulation, that's why. So
in
this experiment, in fact, twist, you need to put a different frequency, otherwise the thing will
untwist.
But if you, in experiment, you could think of a closed scroll, a scroll ring, then you can have some twist because it cannot unwind without breaking the filament. Numerical simulation is very easy, you just put periodic boundary condition. So it's a ring that has no curvature. Okay? Is it clear? Okay, so Kinner tried to describe this kind of thing, and he wrote using averaging techniques, which means that you are in the, you just say that the curvature of this filament is weak. And he wrote some equation which have, so he said that the motion of the filament in the perpendicular plane is driven by its curvature. So that's normal. And he had a lot of other terms coupling with coupling to twist. And then Vadim showed that all these other terms are zero, just by symmetry. So basically the theoretical description is that you have no coupling between this kappa and this and the twist, the curvature and the twist. So the motion in this description is not at all influenced by the twist, so there is hope to describe the thing I showed before. So, well, before going into that, I just remind you what are the different instabilities that have been found in simple models that are basically in all models. So first of all, as you know, in 2D there is meander. So this extends to three dimension. Of course, if the spiral is unstable in two dimension, it will also meander in three dimension. But a little bit more surprisingly, even if it does not meander in two dimension, just by curving one can induce meander. So in some parameter, some region of parameter space, you can have meander in three dimension without, even in a region where the two-dimensional spiral does not meander. So that's some extension of this meandering instability to three dimension. And then there are these instabilities that are specific to scrolls. So there is, you have already seen some picture. There is one that behaves as if the scroll had a negative line tension. This was found 20 years ago by many people. And there is this twist-induced throwing. And the question is, are these instabilities different? Are they the same? For example, in this twist-induced instability with this temperature gradient, initially it was attributed to this negative line tension. So that's the question.
We'd like to clarify.
So to see a little bit more, to investigate a little bit more precisely this instability is what we did with Hervé some time ago, is just to really do the stability of the stray scroll and see what is the spectrum of this. So we did this in a very simple Fitzhugh-Nagumo, using a simple Fitzhugh-Nagumo. In the form that was proposed by Barclay. So just very rapidly, the idea for people kind of thing is just you take a scroll, you compute it quite accurately by a Newton method. So we took a scroll but with a twist, so the twist is imposed, and then you just look at the stability. And basically, so stability means you have a lot of eigenvalues, and since there is this invariance by translation, it's like in solid, they appear in bands.
So,
what is the outcome of this thing? So the outcome is the negative line tension instability, as I'll show in the next slide, is a long wavelength instability. All the modes, even the very long wavelength, are unstable. And it's also directly linked, it can be detected just by a two-dimensional assay. If one puts an electric field on a spiral, one can see in which direction it moves, either parallel or in the other direction of the electric field. And this gives if the scroll is stable or unstable. As we will see, the sproing is a kind of different instability, in the sense that without twist it is stable, and the instability is at the finite wavelength. So there is a well-defined way.
So we have very excellent model. What about the other technique?
Okay, so just I show you the outcome of one computation like this. So, okay, it's for specific case, so it's a weakly excitable case. And then, so this would be the spiral. And for the scroll, there are, instead of one eigenvalue, a set of eigenvalue, there is a band that goes from this. So this would correspond to the translation eigenvalue. And so here it's rotation. So, and here it's meander. So for example, for meander, this would be a spiral that it would be stable to meander because the real part is negative. And here, instead of one eigenvalue, which would say that the meander is negative, if you have a scroll, you can deform it into the transverse direction and you have a band of eigenvalue. And so here for this translation invariance, there is a band of eigenvalue that have a positive part, so the field is unstable. Yes.
So this is a wave number along the axis of the
element.
And how do I have, so what does sigma actually, what is KZ really doing? What is changing? Is it the position of the filament or?
Exactly. Okay, yes. I went fast. So this is the, these are the field, okay? And so we are perturbed, so we put some perturbation on this, and sigma is the weight is growing, okay? And K is the deformation.
Which coupled to what?
Oh, okay, I didn't try the equation, but this is, okay, this is a bit technical. This is in a rotating frame that is twisted with the basic screw.
W
is the twist, exactly. Okay, so here in this case, what you see is that there is a band of wave number of deformation of wavelength which are unstable, and the rotation is stable and meander is stable. Okay, and if you go to the if you go to direct numerical simulation, what you see is that what many people have seen is that if you have a small perturbation, then it will grow like this. the filament will not break until it touches the boundary. Well, then it annihilates with the mirror filament, and you have this proliferation.
So
to come back to the question of Vladimir, so why is it? What's the relation between drift in an electric field and this instability? So you
see that just
to see if it's unstable or not, it is enough to compute the curvature here. Okay. So this is for weak curvatures. If it's curved this way, then it will be unstable. Otherwise, it will be stable. So actually, this curvature is exactly related to the drift.
So
suppose you put an electric field, so you have.
So you have the conduction term.
What? Yeah. So you have this this electric field is the gradient here in this diffusion term, and.
And you have two coefficients: one that is part and the field,
and the other
that is transverse.
And so if you compute the curvature, then these two coefficients are the one that controls this curvature at zero. So you can show this either by just looking at a weakly curved scroll, and then you see that the curvature is just playing this. If you have a weak deformation in Z, it will appear here. Okay, yeah, but at the moment I'm saying it's a spherical
force, so there is
no anisotropy. Yeah, you're right. Okay, so, and you can also show it directly by first order perturbation theory. You can have the expression of these two coefficients by doing first order perturbation theory, and they are the same. So there is one point that is interesting, which was pointed by Valentin and collaborators some years ago, is that when you go from a weakly excitable media to a more excitable media, this coefficient, the sign of
this coefficient
changes.
So you go,
for this reason, you go from stable filament to from unstable filament to stable filament. But basically the physical reason why this there is this change in line tension is not completely clear, at least to me. And there is a nice paper by
we looked
carefully at this transition, and in fact it seems that part of the transition is due to coupling to meander. So this transition is right on the line where the meander instability is commensurate, is equal to the spiral frequency. And so there is a big resonance which gives at least rise to a big change of sign here. So that's the location where the filament is instable, is when the meander frequency is equal to the spiral rotation frequency.
Change of sign without meander also.
I'm not sure of that. This is what Valentin was saying, but I'm not. It's not correct. Sorry. Well, I mean, for rigid rotating spiral, if you don't put, I mean, if the front does not see the back, then it's always unstable.
So, it was computation. So, I don't know what they do in terms of the back, but it was simply computation. It was without any kinematical model or something.
Mm-hmm. So no, but I mean, okay, it was a bit. What I'm saying is that if there is no influence of some refractory period on the front itself, then you don't have this restabilization. Basically, you can solve the model where the front does not see the back, and this is always unstable. So,
Does the difference always mean meander? That's another question.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Maybe it doesn't always mean meander, but at least you need to see the refractory tail.
It's strange because if you go along a neutral stability boundary of meander from weakly excitable symmetric spiral, line tension changes, so I can go continuously.
Yeah. No, no, it changes very discontinuously, actually. That's what Hervé showed. So there is this... okay, so...
This is this meander.
So here you have a line. So you have a line where omega 2 is equal to omega n, when omega 2 would be the meander. Let me call it meander. And so here, so if you go here, then there is a divergence actually. Basically here, if you look at this coefficient alpha.
Let me go a little bit above here.
So if you go a little bit above, is what Hervé showed, is like this. And here is this. The reason is very simple, is that here, inside this region, you are already drifting, okay, linearly, because you have resonance. So here, basically, if you put a small influence, it just align with it, so you have a finite response for an infinitely small perturbation. And then it's above, it's slightly restabilized. So there is at least a very big change near this region. But it's also true that you can
compute it here, and then
you have the
fact that it is stable.
But here the spiral seed, very... Okay, so we can discuss it maybe more. Oh, it doesn't seem so. I mean, maybe meander, but I mean not the as Vadim was saying, you to have some influence on refractory. Okay, but let's. Okay,
so now
what is going on when you put some twist? So you have this basic band of eigenvalue, so it means that everything is stable. And what is happening is that twist, there is a bump that is growing at a finite k far from this translation eigenmode. So there is a bump, and when this bump is sufficiently big, then you get some instability with a definite wavelength, which gives rise to this helix. So that's the basic phenomenology. So now, okay, so we'd like to understand this thing a little bit more. So as I said, if you do the rigorous thing that Kinner was doing, what you are looking at with this weakly curve approach is that you are probing the vicinity of this point. I mean, the k is small, so you're just looking at terms in the vicinity, so you don't see this bump that is a finite wavelength away. So you don't see anything, okay? You see correction, but you cannot catch this spike. And the other way to
at least one other way to
proceed would be to go into the large
regime where
one can describe quite well the
spiral.
But in this case, the filament is tension is negative, so
the thing is already unstable.
So it's difficult to
extract what is due to twist
from other things. Okay, so what we decided to do is just to try to pursue what was proposed by Kinner, but a little bit
more
phenomenologically. So we are going to put to propose a model of this thing, which is not completely derived, which is not really
derived from the
basic equation. So we take exactly the same idea as Skinner. So the idea is to reduce the
spiral to
just the filament which describes the rotation center in each plane, and then to add a vector perpendicular to this filament which just points to the spiral tip. So instead of a full scroll, we have just this filament and then the perpendicular vector, which gives kind of ribbon description. And in this case, twist is just a quantity that says how much the thing rotates, the phase rotates around the tangent. So there is this filament, and the rotation of this perpendicular vector as one goes along the filament. And this rotation character. Okay. So the term that I rigorously derive are these two terms. So R is the position of this filament in the along the z direction. And these are the terms that can be computed rigorously, that are just given by the drift in an electric field. And then what we propose to do is just to continue this expansion and to put some coefficients here. And twist appears here in this coupling of the third derivative of this thing. And then there are some other terms. So this is just a phenomenological model, but we want to see how it works in some sense.
Should you assume also that A1 and A2 may depend on twist explicitly?
Well, you can. A1 and A2, well, it depends what you put on twist. It cannot depend linearly on
twist because of symmetry.
So. Practically okay, but actually there are many other terms that we didn't put. So we just take a kind of minimal model and see what. So this is an equation for the just for the filament, and then one should also describe how the twist evolves along the filament
as the filament moves.
There is a well-known relation that people, for example, have used in DNA, that you have something that is has some twist. If you deform it, there is a coupling between the deformation and the twist. So this is called Rife, and this is a global conservation law. And the global conservation law is just that if you have the two edges of the ribbon and that you close the thing, the number of turn that one is going around the other is maintained with the deformation because the two edges cannot cross themselves. Yeah, you can do it with a bell. Okay, so this is a global conservation, and it's more to do dynamics to do it in a local form. So there are two. So it's quite general. So this P vector, which is orthogonal to this filament, as you go along the filament in space, it rotates around the filament, so this is characterized just by the twist. And also, if you look at the evolution and time, then this P rotates in time around this this thing. So there is a dynamic coefficient which says how this this vector, which points from the center of rotation to the spiral tip, behaves in time. Okay, and if you look at two equations, you get one compatibility condition, which is the equation for this twist. So I just show you how it works in a simple case if you have an X. So if you have suppose you have some twist tau, so you start with something that is a straight vertical filament and with some twist of the spiral tip around it.
And then you
deform it into this straight vertical filament, you put it into an helix. So this equation for the local twist, since you assume something that is basically what happens at every point is the same, there is no dependence, no change of rotation frequency if you want. Along the z direction, so this term doesn't contribute. That there is only this transformation between twist and what is called Rife, which is given by the position of the mean line. So this can be integrated exactly, and what there are two effects. One effect is that if you go from a straight line to an ellipse, then the length is bigger. So that's a simple effect. The twist per unit length is just reduced. And there is another effect is that since the filament, the position of the filament is not only longer but at some shape, then you also reduce the twist by going into this shape. So when you go from a straight line to an ellipse, you reduce the twist by these two effects. Okay? So now.
The second effect, so the first one is the length increase.
Second.
Explain again the second effect.
Well, okay, I should go. I can't. I wanted to avoid this, but okay. Cannot. So okay. So
this is twist. Okay.
So now, if you deform this, then you just reduce the local twist because you go into this deformation of the mean. You see, if you take,
suppose one would
be the mean filament, and just. So this is the initial configuration, and if you change this, then the deformation of the line just you don't need to turn this thing. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So. Yeah. Okay. Bon. Okay. So. So. Okay. Good. So now you have the dynamics in this. This has to be prescribed. This was purely kinematics. So the dynamics, and the dynamics is relatively simple. It's just we're going to put it just that the rotation frequency is increased by twist. Okay, so it actually increases quadratically, and there is also some dependence on the neighboring twist, and this is just kinematics.
So I show you
this thing that most of you know. In fact, if you twist, then the rotation frequency increases. Okay, so this is what we are going to put, and this coefficient can be computed exactly in air stability. Okay, so now this looked complicated, but if I just look at what the stability of a straight is, it just reduced to this equation. So tau w would be the twist, and then there is this position in each plane. And this simple model just was built, in fact, to give this dispersion relation. And if one choose correctly this coefficient, then
the dispersion relation is very somehow
similar in the real thing and in the model. You see that k square here is just keeping the curvature here, and then tau w. So at for small k, this is the dominating term.
Then at large,
it's restabilized, and intermediate value, you can have this bump growing. So it was constructed to have the same kind of dispersion relation. And of course, here also there is a. So we put the real part of these two things positive, so that is stable, and then one increases this bump, and at the threshold twist stability. So now, is this helpful to understand the sproing? So basically, for a given twist, one has an exponential growth of the radius, which depends on the difference between the twist and the critical twist. Okay, this is just the usual instability. But now, what is happening is that if this R is growing, this twist is reduced. Because you have seen that when I just go into an elliptical shape, I reduce. So this is the formula that I I've shown previously, I mean for small r, so this twist that is here just depend on the radius. This is just kinematics. So if you plug this into that, just obtain an equation which says that the radius with rust will just stop growing when this will be equal to the critical twist. So you see the thing that drives the instability is just decreasing as r is growing. So you restabilize basically at the critical twist, and in technical term it's a supercritical instability in the sense that if this is not so different from the critical twist, the radius to which you restabilize is small. So this is the prediction of this small model, and this is also what you see in numerical simulation, the twist. So here the scale is quite enlarged. So basically you restabilize at the critical twist, and the radius of the helix is also growing from zero, like a square, which would be this system. This small model explain in some sense how this what is the how Sproing okay, the question is okay, so we have used it in this very simple setting where it's periodic boundary condition, and the question we want to ask now is it also useful if we have a slightly more complicated case, and also because as everybody pointed out, twist has to be generated in some way for open schools. So we are going to look at this in some sense the simplest case next to this homogeneous medium is the case of an excitability gradient. Okay, so I borrowed again this picture from Ulrich Torb in Stefan Müller group. So what they have here is it's not a temperature gradient like in this experiment by Arkady and Valentin, it's an oxygen gradient. And again, so this oxygen gradient makes the spiral rotation frequency larger on the top, and so there is something that is happening here. And actually what they see is that this filament is breaking, some break of filament, and at least to them the origin of this instability. So what we decided to do is to look to consider this kind of experiment, either temperature or oxygen gradient. So what this gives is a source term in this twist equation, and so that's the equation for the twist, and basically it describes quite well. So this coefficient can be computed exactly, and either with an excitability step or a gradient, is described quite well the twist that is observed. Okay, and the physics is relatively simple. I mean the excitability of the hot part is greater, so the spiral is turning fast, and basically the only way for the other part to increase its frequency is to twist, because the frequency is increasing with twist. So that's the physics is relatively simple. And what is I want to point out in this case, you see that the frequency, the twist in this part will be constant. So a relatively simple idea is just to say, okay, here I've induced some twist in this part, and when this will reach the Sproing threshold, this will go into Sproing and will give some instability. Okay? So that's what we're testing. is so the this part is more excitable than the top part, and indeed above a critical threshold what one sees is an instability of the mean filament. So here maybe the picture is clearer than the previous one. This is the mean filament and this is this spiral tip, and you see that it turns around this you see the motion of the
mean filament that turns
slowly. Okay, so indeed there is an instability, but we are a bit surprised because we know in this numerical model what is the threshold of the throwing instability. And in fact, what we saw going to large, so our first idea was that this thing would exactly coincide, the threshold of the instability would just be the fact that this is equal to the critical throwing. Okay? But in fact, it doesn't coincide even for very large systems. Yeah. So, and I show you that this
small model is not
so bad compared to reaction diffusion. So these are reaction diffusion numerical simulation in large boxes. So this is the shape of this filament, and this is the threshold compared to length, and this is what we obtain in this with this small model. And so you see that it looks similar.
What's the first plot?
First plot is the threshold for a given size.
How was this?
This is just you go with numerical simulation. So here you have a straight filament. Yeah. So when you increase. So here, so suppose you do numerical simulation here. So you increase the twist just by the changing, say, in an experiment temperature gradient or in the numerical simulation the relative of the two parts, and then at this point, boom, it goes into the third direction. And this is basically the same. But the important point is, okay, they are similar, but also there is this same phenomena in the model and in the real experiment, that the threshold of the instability is not the same. Okay, so basically, the thing that in all this kind of model, there are this difference between convective and absolute instability. When we compute the threshold, there is a group velocity for the wave, and when we compute the threshold with periodic boundary condition, we are actually the wave is turning. So even if the instability, an instability can grow and move away, so that would be the threshold that we compute in the periodic box. But if we are in a finite box and generating from here, then if the thing grows and then moves, it can go out of the box before it has grown sufficiently.
So the threshold is
different. So this is what we have computed for this. So this is difficult to do for
the real equation, but
we can investigate this in quite precisely for this model, the small ribbon.
Why can't you go
before? No, sure. I mean, we see the difference. I mean, but if you want to.
So if we want to say that this thing
corresponds exactly to
this convective
instability, then basically we have to compute this this absolute instability. We have to compute it, and it's much more easy to do in the simple problem. So that's what we have shown. So here is this thing that we would compute with periodic boundary condition, and this is the one that is in a box. and actually it coincides quite well for the just the peculiarity is that usually in this field some more technical, but people compute this convective instability with some kind of they have a procedure when they say that the group velocity basically should be zero. And in fact, this we discovered that in this is true if the property of the medium are varying very slowly. But in this case, there is a difference between this procedure and what one should really do. I mean, this would be this procedure with the slowly varying condition, and in this case, it differs from the exact threshold. So if you compute the exact procedure is that if you have this spectrum, you have four roots, and the spectrum in a box is just the one where these two intermediate roots have the same equal part. And we discovered that, but then we discovered also a Russian guy in 1966. As always, this is the more technical, it's just for people interested. So here are different kind of spectrum as the twist increase. So this would be the spectrum. So the color are the same for a given twist. So suppose this one is the one with periodic boundary condition. This is the real spectrum in a large box for this this twist. So you see that they differ, and the usual criterion would be this point, that this point reach a positive part, when the usual criterion would be that this point moves on this line. So as the twist increase, we go to a situation where you see that this line goes sooner in this part than the real line that is here. And in fact, this red dot, which is the usual criterion, goes after the real spectrum in this
part of the box.
So
basically,
this criterion is not exact. And there are some nice bifurcation of spectra in this appearance. You see that there is a kind of lambda shape that we can.
Okay.
So, just I conclude. So in this case, this reduced model was helpful to understand better the different threshold and how things move. So also we think Sproing in fact explains what is seen in BZ, and that the fact that you see breaking is just simply due to collision
with the boundaries.
In the experiment, the thing was they never see a small deformation of the filament, sufficiently small that it does not collide with the box. So that's, in our opinion, it's presumably due to the fact that the box is too small in the as a width that is too small. And okay, the result showed the influence of boundary condition. Okay, so it's quite mathematical. Yes, thank you.
I understand now that you see many possibilities for instability.
Yeah. Well, not so many actually.
Well, I'm gonna ask it another way. Do you think Arcady will ever be able to see a filament?
So that also that's why I asked Arkady how this differ the electrophysiological property.
Okay, well, the electrical of individual lines like the layer could do that, but one of the things you showed here was the oxygen gradient.
Yeah.
And in any isolated piece of tissue, you have to be extremely careful not to kill off the inside of the tissue.
Sure, I mean, that's...
So, even if...
But actually there was this paper by Mikhailov some years ago proposing that this negative line.
We're talking more about normal tissue that you think is normal but is not really normal and doesn't have stable filaments that you can measure yet.
Yeah, normal when you get the presence of the M cells, for example.
It's gonna make glycate M cell layer. If you accept that the M cell is in the tissue.
But for example, I don't know if somebody in the heart has tried to have filament drift in a tissue just to check what is the sign of the filament tension.
That's
even in healthy heart,
You see, even in the model, they didn't have an answer.
Yeah, sure. In the model.
In the model, they don't know whether it's positive or negative.
Yeah, sure. But maybe one can try to resolve this experimentally.
So you feel they're very stable?
No, I'm not feeling they are very stable. In some parameter regime, they are stable. In some, they are not. So, but I have no idea exactly.
In order for ionic balls to disperse or be normal, so they are positive tension, as you become ischemic, they become negative tension. When you got negative tension, yeah, ischemic tissue then tends to become ischemic. So you have a few meetings so you can have negative tension in ischemia, that's potentially one mechanism in ischemia, but in normal tissue.
But is it completely sure that even in normal tissue the line tension is positive? No, I know that.
There's one fact actually, when we were in Russia, the way I'm working with 3D with coronary in preparation, you couldn't get spiral. Never, ever.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a good sign saying that this is, in 3D, it's tension is positive. Because then Khalifa came and said, okay, we in slices, we
get spiral.
Okay. In tissue cultures, you can easily create The fact that how difficult it is to get a strong
Very good. Very good.
Positive tension.
Very good.